Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
Welcome into episode 196 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. It is brought to you, as always, by our friends over at Betano. Betano's got exciting news. If you're a baseball fan, they have tons of future odds up now on the site. If you're a footy fan, then you will like to know that they're the official partner of Copa America 2024. They're taking the beautiful game to new heights in the Americas. Join Betano on their journey for unforgettable football moments. 19 plus, please play responsibly. Episode 196 of the podcast, Coombsy, and we are right in the thick of spring training. How's it going?
You know, I was enjoying this a lot more last week when we talked, and it was like plus 10 outside and all the snow was melting. And I mean, look, I'm still happy that there's ball games on TV, but it doesn't resonate with me quite as much when it's what is it today? What is it this morning? It's like minus 20.
Yeah, it's like minus 20, minus 22. It sucks.
Yeah, so the baseball, fortunately, has given us something to pay attention to and talk about during the day, but the spring vibes are not quite here just yet.
Not quite in old Edmonton, Alberta. We'll go out to Toronto in a few minutes. Our boy Adam from Blue Jays today, a part of our network, he's going to swing by, and we're going to do a little Betano high or low, fill in the blank kind of segment with him. But first, let's talk about some of the big headlines coming out of spring training. Let's start with Cody Bellinger, Coombsy. I mean, this is a guy who at one point in the winter, we were wondering if the Toronto Blue Jays were going to back up the truck and pay him $200 million. And if that would even be enough, maybe you'd get outbid. He settles for a 3-year, $80 million contract with the Chicago Cubs. It's got a player option after each season. But I mean, Scott Boras, the super agent, I don't think he can say this is a win.
No, they came into the offseason and apparently Cody Bellinger was looking for a deal north of $200 million. Remember, this is a guy who won the MVP with the Dodgers. He was the rookie of the year when he came up in 2017, won the World Series in 2020. And then he got hurt, had two bad seasons. The Dodgers opted to let him go. He signs the 1-year show me offer with the Cubs, and teams are still skeptical. I mean, he had a good season last year, hit bombs, stole bases, but he also strikes out a lot. And I mean, it's just hard to say whether this is the player you're going to get is the one that the Dodgers saw for those 2 years that they moved on from, or the player the Cubs had last year. And I mean, 200 mils for that, that's a lot. I remember when there was talk about the Jays signing Bellinger as their big left-handed bat outfielder, can play first base as well. The talk was, you know, the George Springer contract of 150 mils would be the beginning of what you're looking at. And then he winds up signing this one here. It says basically, it says 3 years, 80 million, but if we're being honest, it's really essentially just a handful of 1-year deals. It'll allow Bellinger, if he has the same season again with the Cubs, to go test the free agent market. Maybe more teams are in the mix to add good, not great guys, all-star caliber, non-MVP type guys next offseason. But I don't know, like there's all the talk about the regional sports deals and this and that, and a bunch of teams don't have money to spend. We talked about it last time. I don't know, like maybe teams just aren't interested in handing out big deals like this in free agency anymore. Maybe there's been a change.
And maybe there's been a change in Boras's, I mean, I don't want to call it philosophy because we know what his philosophy is, but a change in what he's going to be willing to accept for his clients here. Matt Chapman is still on the board. I think the Toronto Blue Jays would be wise to keep that line of communication open. They really didn't go out and fill that third base hole all that aggressively. Would you do this deal if you were the Jays and Matt Chapman is willing to accept it? Would you go 3 years times $80 million? Or do you think they're just content with where they are now?
I'm not really sure. I'm kind of unsure about that because, I mean, it's a deal where there isn't a tremendous amount of risk because, I mean, I don't know, at the end, even if Bellinger or Chapman, whoever we're talking about in this situation, has a couple of bad years, it's only 3 years. This isn't a contract that's taking someone into their late 30s, but it's also like, if you look at the way that Bellinger's contract's broken down, it's $30 million this year, $30 million the next, and then $20 million after that, the last one. So the Cubs are obviously assuming he'll opt out before that. That's a lot of money. Like that's still a good amount to coin for a guy like Matt Chapman, who last year outside of his April really wasn't spectacular. I mean, like it was that MVP April and then everything after that. I mean, September, of course, dealt with the hand injury, the broken finger, and that obviously played a big role in why the numbers went down. But I'm not sure I'd want to give the same amount of money that Bellinger got per se, but I'd be open to bringing Chapman back. I have been all winter, but I think the Blue Jays are in a good spot here because, you know, they gave him the qualifying offer, and if another team is going to sign him, they'll have to give up a draft pick. And I mean, I don't think you want to give up a draft pick for a guy who could opt out if that is the contract they wind up doing. So the Jays might be in a good situation here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not even a three-year thing. Maybe it's, you know, 2 years, $50 million, $25 million a season. I think that's a price tag that I would be okay with for, I mean, I know he's glove first, but that glove is pretty damn good. And give him the opt out after year one. Maybe you even, I don't know if this stuff happens, but maybe you just, the qualifying offer would be gone is my point, right? So maybe if you're the Jays and Chapman, you sit there and say, hey, we'll give you the 2 year deal. It'll guarantee you $50 million in your pocket if you were to get hurt or have a terrible year. Like, we'll commit to you for 2 years. If this year goes well, boom, you got 25 mil, you're a free agent again next year, and you won't have the qualifying offer standing in your way. So I don't know. I think I agree with you. I think the Jays are in a good spot here, and I'm actually kind of interested to see if this gets done. I'm starting to get my hopes up a little bit. And again, I know he was not a reliable bat for them pretty much for the last 70% of last season, but I still think they'll miss his glove a lot, especially when you look at the pitching staff that they have, guys who are pitched to contact. Like, I think you want him in the mix, obviously. Let's talk about pitching in spring training, because one guy, we got to start the conversation with Alek Manoah. This was the probably number one storyline to follow in spring training for the Toronto Blue Jays. And he comes out and has a rough debut. And I know the spin zone from it, I was reading Keegan Matheson's piece, was, okay, last year Manoah felt like he was chasing his velocity. And then as he was chasing his velocity, he kind of lost control. I'm paraphrasing here. This year, it's the opposite. His velocity actually looks really good, but his control is a problem. He gives up four earned. He hits three batters. What do you make of the kind of spin zone Manoah and the Jays put out there of like, hey, we're happy with the velocity. This wasn't all that bad, because it kind of was bad.
Yeah, it's a really weird one because, I mean, you look at Alek Manoah when he's been good and you look at Alek Manoah when he's been bad. And throughout both of them, there's many instances where the control is bad. Like, There were times in 2021 and 2022 when he was a top of the rotation starter and he was still putting together good starts and he was plunking two or three guys. I mean, this is kind of a reality of Alek Manoah, is that there is a command problem, but I don't think it was. It's difficult to look at these starts when you're watching from TV because you don't really necessarily know specifically what's going on behind the scenes. I remember when I was down in spring training in 2018, there was you watch it and people talk about, like, you don't really know necessarily what a pitcher is going to work on when they come into a start, right? Like, you could have a guy coming into a start where their whole goal is you're going to pitch two innings and you're trying to throw fastballs low in the zone. And that's your entire focus. That's what you're all about. That's what the coaches have told you to do. That's what they want. And, you know, a few of those pitches get drilled because, you know, it's batting practice, it's training exhibition game. It's not really real. So, I mean, there are these things where you can't necessarily look at, like, earned runs and results like that to necessarily know whether a pitcher's in a good spot. But the thing is, I think we can take it kind of as a half and half. It was positive that his velocity was there. He seems confident. I think a lot of for Alek Manoah this season is going to be inside of his own head, whether he's coming into starts feeling good, like he's in a groove, a good routine, he's confident, whatever. I think that's kind of going to be the positive thing. But the worrying thing here, of course, is the command. Like, we can see starts coming and unraveling when he's hitting all these batters, he's walking guys. It's not necessarily what you want to see, but it is just one start, so we'll see what happens throughout March.
Oh, yeah. I'm in no way writing off the season or anything like that from Manoah. It's just like if there was one player who you would have liked to come out first appearance and just mow guys down, it would have been Alek Manoah. Looking at some of the other appearances, Nate Pearson didn't look great. Ricky Tiedemann is hurt as well. So that was disappointing because he was scheduled to start that spring opener. We're all excited to see Ricky Tiedemann throw the ball. Bowden Francis wasn't great in his first start. But I will say one positive from the arms so far in spring training. I'm out here watching Mitch White throw, 98 miles per hour? And I'm kind of like, damn, this guy might be a player this year.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, it looks like they have a few different options to fall back on if Alek Manoah is not the guy at number five. I do think that's who it's going to wind up being, but he hasn't pitched yet. We got Yariel Rodriguez in the mix, probably make his spring debut at some point. Mitch White just looks like a completely different pitcher. Apparently, he made a handful of changes when he went down to Buffalo last year, and his velocity is up now to the point it was when he was with the Dodgers, and he hadn't had that since being traded to Toronto. So maybe we'll finally get to see the version of Mitch White that the Blue Jays traded for a couple years ago. That's always been a puzzling trade. I know a lot of people were confused as to what they were going for there, but on the other side of the deal, Nick Brasso's looks like the Dodgers are moving him into the bullpen now, so not one that we really have to get worked up about. The pitching, the Tiedemann thing was disappointing, but on the positive side, I guess you had Chad Dallas come in there and kind of put his name on the map. That's a guy that people have really raved about. Buck Martinez, I think it was talking about him being kind of like a dark horse candidate to maybe come up at some point during the season. He finished last year at AA, so seems realistic. There's a lot of interesting arms out there in the Blue Jays system.
Yeah, there are. Let's just quickly flip the ledger over and talk a little bit about some of the hitters in spring training. Handful of good results from some guys kind of scattered all throughout the system. But one guy who's been encouraging is Dalton Varsho. I know that at the end of last season, Ross Atkins talked about how, you know, they might have to bank on internal improvements next year to get better. And we kind of sat there and we're like, oh God, like that's a little bit concerning. But if there's one guy who can make Ross Atkins look like a genius for saying that, is it not Dalton Varsho? Like if he comes out and has a breakthrough year, and he spoke last week about how kind of disappointing it was to sit and watch his former team go on that World Series run. Maybe that was a motivating factor. But if Dalton Varsho were to become the player we were hoping he would be last season, that really is a total game changer for this Jays lineup.
It would be. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily easy. And I mean, I guess maybe you can apply this to Mitch White too, a guy like that who we were just talking about. It's not necessarily easy to be traded to a new organization when you're being traded out of your first organization. Like if you're a guy, Varsho, you're drafted by the Diamondbacks, you're drafted as a catcher, you change positions, you've been in that system for years. Those are all the people you know, the coaches, the players, teammates, everybody. And that's just who you're familiar with. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of winter, you get traded out. Like there wasn't really that much talk about this trade happening. I don't think if you're Dalton Varsho and you've got 4 years of team control after whatever it was, you're sitting there thinking, oh man, like this is going to be the year I'm getting traded. I'm sure it came as somewhat of a shock to him. I know that we know that Gabby Moreno, who was on the other side of that trade, that he was completely shocked to be getting traded to Arizona as well. So for some guys, I think you come into a brand new environment and it's not necessarily easy to just pick it up and do your best job. But I think if you're coming in after spending a whole year with the team, you're familiar with everybody around, I think it's a lot easier to just hit the ground running and do your thing. Like I would imagine for a guy like that, there was a lot of talk about that trade last year and what Toronto gave up. I think the pressure was pretty significant for Dalton Varsho coming in. He probably tried to do too much last year. And if his game becomes more simple and he's a glove first outfielder who hits for power, hits 25, 30 bombs, it's capable of doing so. And I don't think people are going to be complaining about the trade if that's the case.
Fair enough. All right. There's our little spring training recap here on episode 96. We said we had a guest today, so let's quickly step aside for a break and then we'll get to our boy Adam from Blue Jays today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Back on episode 196 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Special guest joining us today, our boy Adam from Blue Jays Today, a part of the Nation Network. And Adam, we were just talking off the air. You and your co-host, you've quit your jobs. You're going all in on Blue Jays Today. Tell us what the people can expect from a full-time summer of Blue Jays Today content.
Well, to start a lot happier and less stressed out, Nick and Adam, I think for sure. But in terms of content, we're going to be doing two weekly live Blue Jays Today shows on Mondays and Fridays. And then we're going to be watching a lot more baseball games, almost half of the regular season Toronto Blue Jays games. We're going to be watching every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, and maybe even four times a week, depending on the series and who's playing. So a lot of that. And as well, some video room breakdowns that we like to do as well on Blue Jays Today. So a ton of content. And also check out our social medias too, because we're posting a lot of more fun shorts on there. So yeah, I mean, now we have the time, so there's no excuse, right?
Yeah, love it. Excited to see what you guys cook up this year. We got some like Botano high or low questions that I'm going to run past you and Coomzy. But first, we started the show talking about the Cody Bellinger deal, maybe whether you would have done that or not if you were Ross Atkins, but also if it's maybe giving you some hope that Matt Chapman could return to the Jays on a short deal. What did you think of the Bellinger signing? What do you think of the possibility of Chapman maybe still being a Blue Jay on opening day?
Yeah, for Cody Bellinger, I mean, money aside, for both these players, actually, I will take him. I will absolutely take him. I think if the Blue Jays earlier in this offseason were to have an offer on the table like that, they would have done it, right? And same with Matt Chapman. If the price was, and right now Matt Chapman's price is getting lower, if it was that low earlier, maybe they would have done it, right? But now you're kind of in a situation where the 40-man roster and the 26-man roster is getting pretty loaded up right now with a lot of guys that, you know, you could argue that are semi-valuable to an organization, right? So right now, in terms of Cody Bellinger, yes, I would have took it absolutely. If Rogers Communication was willing to dish out all that money and go into that next luxury tax threshold, whereas Matt Chapman, it's a little less because you've kind of constructed your roster now at this point, almost entering into March, where you have a lot of mouths to feed in that third base bag. Adding in Matt Chapman after already signing IKF to a 15-mil, 2-year deal, it feels like wasted money. You want to use that money up and get him a lot of like opportunities with the Toronto Blue Jays. So it doesn't really feel like a great fit, especially if you bring in Matt Chapman. You're also going into that next luxury tax threshold. So I highly doubt it's going to happen, but I mean, surprise me. It surprised me, guys. I don't know much about money, but if you have some extra dollars in there, yeah, let's go. Let's run it back.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Like I said, I got some higher low questions. They're all from the futures odds that our friends at Betano have up. The game starts now at betano.ca, 19 plus. Please play responsibly. For this first one, they have the over under for the Blue Jays win total this year. And I want from you guys, whether you think it's too high, it's too low, or it's just right. Coomzy, I'll start with you. The total is 86.5. Some background into this. It's the exact same number that they've set for teams like the Twins and Mariners. So right in that range for the Jays. Coomzy, expecting 86.5 wins from the Jays. Too high, too low, or just right?
I think they're going to wind up above that. I mean, the vibes in this season might not be as high as they have been coming into the last few years, but this is a team that won 91 games in 2021. I understand the team's quite different now than it was at that time, but 2022, the year they fired Montoya and brought in Schneider as the manager, they got to 92 wins. And then last year, I think it's safe to say they underachieved quite a bit, a lot of key players, and they still came up with 89 wins. So for them to dip below 86 after those 3 years with a lot of the same players back, I think that'd be surprising. I bet you the Jays are closer to 90.
Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, they really did underachieve last year. And yeah, you know, they lost Brandon Bell and they lost Whit Merrifield and they lost Matt Chapman. And Matt Chapman's a 4.4 WAR player. If you look at like who we added and who we lost in terms of major league players who played last year, we lost about 6 WAR. So you could argue, oh, that's 6 roughly wins that we're going to be losing. However, yeah, you got to account for the bounce back. I don't think there's any way where Vladdy doesn't get better. He's going to get better. If he gets any worse, then there's something significantly wrong with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And so you got to anticipate that bounce back. You know, you also have George Springer, who really underperformed. He was overworked as well. You know, he almost had 700 plate appearances. And at his age, that's quite a lot. So I think John Schneider said recently coming into spring training that he recognizes that he's going to utilize his workload a little bit better so that we can get a better overall result from George Springer. So I think overall the team learned what they did wrong last year. They're going to get better. I think they're going to be back in the 90s again. If it's just 90, I think that's great.
We talked before we brought you on about how Dalton Varsho is maybe one of the keys to this offense turning it around and what an important piece he could be if he had a breakout year. Is there anyone else in the mix there that you're looking at and going like they're someone who is a really important piece of this offense finding their groove this year?
I won't dive into too much because I just talked about him, but I really do think it's George Springer. Again, all those plate appearances leading off your games, setting the table. If you got to be an above average player to set the table for people like Bo Bichette, who had an incredible year. And if you're anticipating a Vladdy bounce back, and now that you have Justin Turner coming in, who we know is consistent as can be, you really do got to have George Springer bouncing back a little bit, right? Because yeah, for the reasons I said, he's going to be playing almost every day. Got to have him get kind of near. I don't expect him to be like where he was when we first signed him, 900 OPS, driving in 35 home runs. You know, give me a 25 homer season and an OPS touching at that 800, get on base, and I'm more than happy.
Fair enough. Next one Botano has up is the Jays' odds to be a playoff team this year. Coomzee, it's a fill-in-the-blank question. The Toronto Blue Jays have a blank percent chance to make the postseason this year.
You never really want to say, like, I'm not going to say that it's a 100% chance because that is something that has the potential of coming back to bite me in the ass very badly. But I do feel good, especially in the six-team playoff format. Like, I don't think the Jays are necessarily going to win the division. I don't think the team to beat in the AL East, but I have a hard time finding six teams that are better than the Jays in the East. Like, no doubt. Like, over the course of a 162-game marathon, six teams come out on top of the Jays? I don't think so. I do think they're going to wind up being one of the wild card teams, but I feel I got to put a number on it. I'm going to say 90% because it's baseball and things can go wrong. It's impossible to predict, but I feel very good about it.
Adam, what do you think?
Well, I was looking at some betting odds the other day. Shut up, Tano. I was kind of on the fence whether I wanted to bet if the Blue Jays would make playoffs this year. The odds, they're tricky. They're right on the line for me. Look, like I said, I do think they're going to do well, but there is a few realities where things don't go well. What if that pitching isn't as good? What if the pitching gets hurt, right? I mean, we did get a little bit more depth this offseason with Yarier Rodriguez, and maybe you get a Bowden Francis, big performances, right? Maybe Ricky T comes up, but there is a lot of injuries where maybe they don't get adjusted to a starting day role, and if we get injuries, then we're kind of losing some games right there and tied with the offense not being as good. I think the floor could be a 500 team. It could be. So, I mean, the odds, I definitely would say about 75%. I'm trying to be as not biased as possible. 75%, the Blue Jays are going to be back in the postseason.
So Botano's got them right now at -143 to make the playoffs. So you'd have to risk $143 to win 100 on that bet. If you flip that into implied odds, it's about 58%. So it's interesting to see the books maybe a little bit lower on the Jays than we are. They're also +145 to be a 90-plus win team this year, which is an interesting way to juice that up as well. Next area I wanted to go to with you guys was winning the AL East. Botano has them at about a 20% chance of winning the AL East at 4-1 odds. When you look last year, Baltimore went out, 101 win team. Tampa was right behind them at 99. Obviously, they want to have guy like Wander Franco this year. The Yankees were down at 82. They picked up Juan Soto. Coomzee, if you had to power rank the teams in the American League East 1-5, how do you rank them?
I think for the exact reason that you kind of mentioned with the Rays, they're probably going to take a step back. They had that amazing start where they win like 16 games in a row to kick off their year last year, and they only lost like two or three games in April. And then after that, they were just kind of mediocre. They bowed out in the playoffs, of course. Baltimore won the division with the 101-win breakout season, but every story about the Orioles before heading into spring training is about so-and-so pitcher is injured. And I mean, I don't want to – again, I don't want to get old takes exposed here and be like, oh, the Orioles pitching is going to implode, because I said that a whole bunch of times last year. It just never happened. So I don't want to discount the Orioles, but I don't think they're going to be the champ again. I think that's going to be the Yankees. I think adding Juan Soto and then getting a healthy season of Aaron Judge. The Yanks were pretty good last year before Aaron Judge got hurt at Dodger Stadium when he kicked that wall down. So a healthy Aaron Judge plus Juan Soto, they have great pitching. It feels like a New York bounce back year. I'd say the Yankees are the number one team. I've got the Jays at number two, the Orioles at number three, and the Rays at number four, and then the Sox are in last.
Adam?
Yeah, I'm going to go Yankees to win it. I'm going to have the Orioles right now ahead of the Jays. It's look, they got over 100 wins. That's a lot of wins to, you know, regress from. I do think there will be some regressions here and there. The pitching, they're injured a little bit. But in the second half last year, like they really turned it off. Grayson Rodriguez was just phenomenal. And then they add Corbin Burns, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I think their rotation is going to be sneaky good. And not to mention, there's a injury here. There's an underperformance there by a few of these guys. No problem. Let's call up our next top ranked prospect and give him a shot. Right. So I think the regression will be minimal. But don't know if they're going to eclipse 100 yet this year, but I still think they're going to get like mid 90s. So with that being said, I think they're number two, and then Jays comfortably number three. I again, with the regression, right? Rays did lose Wander Franco. They did trade Glasnow over to the Dodgers. Yeah. So there will be some guys missing, but it's still the Rays. They're going to find a way. So I think they're going to be kind of competing for the three spot, but I do believe the Jays, maybe a bit of bias in play here, will out them for that number three spot and a wild card spot.
So yeah, Botano's got it as Yankees as the front runner right now, Orioles, Jays, Rays, Red Sox. So it does seem pretty straightforward in the American League East. Let's get into a couple of player ones. Adam, in your first answer, you talked a bit about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He is 22-1 to lead the majors in dingers. I don't think anyone's going out and putting a lot of money on that, but his over-under over on Botano is 33.5. What do you think Vladdy's chances are of crushing north of 33.5 bombs this year?
All right, let me tell you a quick story. So as soon as I saw the pictures of him showing up to camp, I'm not lying, man. I went to my betting app and I took the over at 33.5. I was like, oh, I got to bet before they start raising the line. I do think if you look at, Vladdy, obviously he's trending in a downward direction in terms of homers. But I really do think, again, back to what I was saying, they figured out a lot what was going wrong. What was Vladdy's Achilles heel? You couldn't hit the fastball last year. You need to hit the fastball. It's like the easiest, most rule as a hitter. You got to stay on the fastball. He wasn't able to do it, and he still hit over 20 home runs. So I think if he could just make that adjustment, he's going to bounce back in the stat line. He'll bounce back in the homers. He's in arguably the best shape he's been in the last 2 years. For me, it feels like an easy over. Maybe bias is creeping in, but I think it'll happen.
Coomsey, what do you think? 33.5 for Vladdy? Is that number set about right, or do you think he'll crush it?
It's an interestingly placed one, because I mean, like, you'd kind of think, you know, a few years ago, he had the 48 home run season, but I mean, and I hate to do this narrative, but you know, a lot of those home runs did come in Dunedin and a lot of them did come in Buffalo, and it's not going to be the case this year. And then you look back at 2022, I think it was a good, not great Vladdy season, the 818 OPS, and he had 32 bombs that year. So kind of right around there. I think Vladdy can still have a really good season this year, like a 900 something OPS season, maybe without the 35, 40 bombs. I think maybe we'll see Vladdy hit a lot of doubles. Maybe we'll see him get on base more, draw more walks, a different approach. I think Vladdy's going to have a great season, but I don't know if it's going to come with a whole bunch of home runs. I think we're going to see a slightly different hitter this year.
The other thing, too, with taking these player totals during a year is the guy's got to stay healthy. And Vladdy has been remarkably healthy so far in his career. Like, you can basically count on just your hands how many games that guy's missed during his entire 5-year MLB career to this point. So the only thing that would honestly make me a little bit nervous is, like, even the most durable players, especially in a sport like baseball, eventually have a stretch where it's like, ah, you tweaked something running to first base. It's just that kind of a game. So my concern would be, man, what if he misses 25 games? Like, not even has an injury riddled season. What if he misses just like 3 weeks? And it's like, damn, there's no way he hasn't hit this number in back-to-back years. Last year, he played in 156 games, had north of 600 plate appearances. Like, he had almost 700 plate appearances. Is this a number that's attainable even if you were to miss a couple of weeks? I don't know. And like at first I'm like, okay, hammer 33.5. That number seems so low. And then I'm like, oh man, do I want to bet on Vladdy staying healthy for a sixth consecutive season? I'm just not sure where I come out on it. The next one I got for you guys is actually something I am putting some money on because it's something this player's done a couple of times already in his career. Bo Bichette is 14-1 to lead the league in hits. He's done it a couple of times, man. And again, that's a guy who coming into last year, what was he? Insanely durable. He got a little banged up at points last year, still had 175 hits on the year. We know he's going to be a lock to stay at the top of that Jays order. The only players who have better odds than him to lead the league in hits are Seager, Freeman, Arias, and Acuna. Adam, what do you think about Bo Bichette this year? You think there's room for him to maybe step back up a little bit, have a fully healthy season? The other area I'll be looking for with Bichette, honestly, is maybe a bit of a resurgence when it comes to the home run ball as well. But what do you make of Bo heading into this year?
I also I took him for leading the league in home runs as well. Or not home runs, excuse me, hits. I did the same thing last year. And obviously he didn't win. However, I cashed out. Right as he got hurt, I cashed out. I knew it was funny. So I took him again because I'm gonna rock the same strategy. He's gonna get out of the gate hot. I mean, he's already getting looked like he in this spring training never left the baseball diamond. This guy, I think he's got three hits so far, all of them singles up the middle line drive. That's exactly what you want to see when you're just trying to get back into midseason form. He's going to lead the league. And if there is an injury, like you're saying about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if the same thing happens to Bo Bichette, I'm going to cash out and I'm going to be pretty happy with that. So I'm obviously taking that line.
I love it. Coomzy, what do you make of Bo heading into this year? Do you think there's, in a weird way, areas for him to improve? Like I mentioned, the long ball, obviously staying healthy would go a long way. But what are your expectations for him in 2024?
It's a tough one. I mean, like, I think you guys are both right with the injuries. It's hard to look ahead and say what's going to happen. Is he going to play 159 games like he did in 21-22, or is he going to play in 135 like last year? You know, you had the injury right before the trade deadline, and then it was kind of just like nagging injuries down the stretch after that. But I mean, we talked about this in the last podcast, Tyler and I, and it's what you can really see with Bo Bichette this year, the way he's talked, the way he's kind of carrying himself, is it really looks like he's established himself as like the core leader on this team. And he's only 2 years away from free agency. And I kind of feel like these are two huge years for both him and Vladdy to really prove themselves as to whether Rodgers and the Blue Jays are going to make those huge investments to make them the franchise guys that stay around forever. And I think, I don't know if I describe it as Bo is putting a lot of pressure on himself, but I think he's kind of naturally fit into this role where he's like, I'm going to be the best guy on the Blue Jays. I'm going to be one of the best players in the league. And I think he's motivated to do that this year. And I actually would be comfortable taking that bet at 14-1. I think it's a good one. Bo's going to have a huge season this year.
So I like that we were joking earlier, but we're going to try to not be too big of homers here when we're looking at this stuff. Whatever. Yeah, I'm going to wrap this up with the most homer question possible. We got Vladdy 22-1 to win AL MVP, Bo 29-1 to win AL MVP. Out of those two, which one, and honestly, I think it should be closer between the two of them than that. But which one of those two do you think is a better shot? If anyone's going to do it, Bo or Vlad, Adam, which one would you bet on to win MVP?
Probably Vlad because of the home runs, right? The power. Bo Bichette, yeah, like we were hoping he gets a little bit more power. But what's, you know, realistically, what's a hopeful right there? Like 30, 32, yeah, maybe, right? So whereas Vlad, I mean, the upside is 48, 50 home runs. If he really clicks like he did back in 2021, I mean, the odds are pretty good. I personally am, I'm going to just stay away from that because, again, it's a lot of question marks, a lot of unknowns. I'm curious to know, like, maybe you tell me after, but Juan Soto, I actually took him for MVP. That feels like it's destined to be Juan Soto, Yankee Stadium, short right field wall. But I like the odds if you're really optimistic, but I'm not taking it.
Coomzy, either one of Bo or Vlad, do you think one of them's got sneaky MVP chances?
I'd take Bo over Vlad for like all the same reasons I just described. I think Vlad also has got the defense there, but then the struggle is there's a lot of good shortstops around, and it's, even if Bo's got the offense and above average defense, it's kind of hard to separate yourself from the pack when there's, you know, other names like Corey Seager, Trey Turner, Francisco Lindor. There's so many good shortstops, and it's hard to set yourself out. Whereas, like Adam said, if Vladdy just comes and has a 50-dinger season and the Jays win 95 games, it's just one of those easy picks. You're like, oh, look at those numbers, dingers, we love it, and that's your MVP. Whereas I think, you know, Bo may be the more complete all-around player, but, you know, maybe in the more analytics-driven age, then he can be one of those super high war guys that winds up winning the MVP. But that's who I would go, though. I agree with Adam. Juan Soto seems inevitable. I wouldn't go with either of the Blue Jays. I wouldn't throw money down on that.
Yeah, the top five over on Betano. Aaron Judge is the odds-on favorite. Juan Soto's right behind him at 6-1. Yordan Alvarez, Corey Seager, and Julio Rodriguez round out the top five. The thing I love about Betano, just for the jokes of it, they list everybody on this website. So if you're interested, boys, 160-1 Alejandro Kirk MVP season. Like, why? A couple bucks never hurt anybody.
What kind of year would he have to have, man? It would just be unreal. I can't even picture that.
Like a prime Joe Mauer season, bats 350, wins the gold glove.
Right?
That'd be great. Yeah, no, that's not happening. Maybe we can go Jose Siri, 200-1. Doubtful again.
200-1, yeah.
All right, guys, enjoyed doing that, running through some of the odds courtesy of our friends at Betano. Adam, man, thanks for hopping on. Really excited to see what you and Nick cook up this summer over at Blue Jays today.
Thank you, guys. We'll be watching your stuff as well. Go Jays, go.
There you go. Coomzee, appreciate you doing this. We'll chat again next week.
Absolutely. Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.